Good evening and welcome to the monthly meeting of the Blair Airport Authority. The authority meets regularly at 7 p.m. the third Tuesday of every month in the Blair City Council Chambers. The purpose of this meeting is to conduct the business of the Blair Airport. The meeting will follow the agenda made available out or inside the entrance door of the Council Chambers. Also, a copy of the Nebraska Open Meetings Law is posted by the entrance door. If you have an agenda item or wish to comment on an agenda item, please follow these steps. First of all, raise your hand and allow me to recognize you. Step up to the podium and clearly state your name and address to be recorded by the secretary. Please direct your remarks to the members of the authority and do not speak directly to other members of the audience. Ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes so others have equal opportunity to address the body. The City of Blair officials that typically attend these meetings include the members of the Blair Airport Authority, which is Dr. Dave Johnson, the chairman, Marty Rump, the secretary, Dan Hunt, Wes Bedke, and Faye Jones. Additionally, Phil Green, the Blair City Administrator and the Blair Airport Manager, and Aaron Barrow, the Assistant Blair City Administrator, generally are in attendance. Thank you for your interest in the Blair Airport. We appreciate your interest and participation. Roll call our members.
Dr. Faye Jones is absent tonight. Marty Rump is present. Dr. Dave Johnson is absent. Dan Hunt?
Present.
And Wes Bedke?
Here.
So we have three present, two absent. That does provide a quorum. And so we can continue with the agenda. Agenda item number three is approval of the minutes. There are 2 minutes, the minutes of the budget hearing from July 16th, in addition to the minutes of the regular meeting from July 16th. Do we need separate motions for those?
No.
Do it all in one motion? So I would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
Before we move on, just a couple clarifications on the budget hearing minutes.
Okay.
Under agenda item number three, just a couple clarifications. There's a summary provided of kind of the proposed general budget items, and all the totals are correct. And then there's just kind of a few examples of what some of the more major expenses are. It's not meant to be comprehensive or anything. But just to clarify, one item that's listed as on the income side, the $75,000 is described as, property tax collection fee by county. So just to clarify, that $75,000 on the income side is the property tax levy, not directed to the debt service. So it's not really a fee, it's the income received from that. That's just a little minor clarification. And then a little further down, for AWAS maintenance is listed as $15,000. That's actually, I think that should be the property maintenance. AWAS maintenance is like $4,600 or something like that. Like I said, those are just some example numbers in there, and the totals are correct. So with those changes, I would move to second the approval.
Thank you. I think that's the motion. You didn't. Well, you,
I did not.
Okay, so you make the motion with those changes.
I'll second. Thank you. With those changes. Yeah.
Thank
I'll
you.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Rump and second by Bedke. Please indicate your votes.
All members present voting aye.
Thank you. Agenda item number four is the approval of the financial reports for July. Any questions or comments?
I've reviewed those, and there's nothing really major for this past month. Everything is running pretty much according to plan, so I would make a motion to approve the July financial reports.
Yep, everything. It's good on my end. I'll second.
Motion by Rump, second by Bedke. Please indicate your vote. Thank you. We don't know if we win or not yet.
All members present voting aye.
Okay, another winner. Agenda item number five, Going to open a public hearing on the fiscal year 2024-2025 budget, and I would ask Mr. Green to please make his presentation.
All right, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Appreciate that. Good evening. So this is kind of a review of the budget. If you recall, primarily because the Airport Authority gets its taxing authority and power through the city, therefore the Airport Authority has to kind of get its budget ready about a month ahead of time, which is very, very difficult since we don't even know what the valuations are. So valuations finally were received from the county a little early, which was great. So we received them, I think, Tuesday of last week. So that gave me a few days to kind of work on getting things ready. I was really proud of myself. I worked extra hard last night, got everything ready, everything up on the website. Got in the office this morning, started reading a few more things about budgets and went, oh dang, okay, I think I did one of the numbers wrong. So so I had to go back and look at a couple items. So you have a packet with you tonight of four different pages, and I'll kind of go through those. I'll explain a little bit. So actually, Aaron, if you look on the next item for the review, because this is actually number six, then yeah, some of these things have been updated. So if you want to bring up that levy form, or top one, so that those in the audience can see. Just to remind you kind of what we looked at last week, or last month first. So I had estimated, just kind of, you know, shot in the dark, I guess, on what valuations might be for the county this next year, knowing that we've had some fairly substantial increases over the last couple of years. So I had estimated an 8% growth in that number. Now, one of the challenges, though, with recent budgets is they changed the rules a few years back where it's not only the valuation number, but it's also a number that they call real growth, which is from new construction and remodeling, not just from re-evaluations. And that real growth is the key one that allows municipalities and then airports to kind of increase numbers. So I had estimated about $1.02 billion as valuation. I was actually a little low on the valuation side. And so as your packet shows, and as the screen shows up here, actual valuation for Washington County, or for City of Blair, I should say, came in at $1,071,003,788, which is an increase from last year of 13.33% in just the valuation. That's good for us. What was bad for us, and the number that I had wrong, was it basically put down knowing that we were going to be probably purchasing some land this next fiscal year, put down some of the dollar amounts towards that as a capital expense on the form, which exempts us then from some things, but then realized this morning that, well, you're only supposed to do that if the funds that you're actually using come from a reserved fund category, which that these won't be. These will be federal funds, and therefore, yes, we can still spend them. We just can't put them on the form the way that I did. By taking that number off, we were asking for way too much tax than what we're authorized to be able to do. So had to reduce the tax asking by about $9,000. Now, if you remember last month, we looked at three different scenarios using three different mill levy amounts, Representative Rump had really asked that we, you know, kind of try to stay right close to that 3 cents level, and that was really what I was shooting for, but we're a little high on that. And so you can see this new number up here, we're going to be limited on the general fund side for tax taking. Instead of $75,000, we had to drop it down to $62,775.83. And that gets as much money as we can and still meet the lid levy. So you can also then see what the levy would equate to then with that tax asking. So again, a little bit higher than what it was this last year, but still lower than what it would have been if we would have looked at the other numbers that I had. Then Aaron, if you want to look at, I think, see what's on the second item back on the Spark. Yeah, the hearing notice. The hearing notice that we had in the paper is again going to be slightly different. This is the last page that's in your four-page packet there. So we don't be surprised. We will republish this one again just as a notice. If I need to, I need to double check that the actual tax asking is going down. So we may not be required to post this again since we're asking for a little bit less money. But it's the last two items in the first big block that were changed. And so The property tax requirement is going down to $308,085.83, and the unused budget authority for this year ends up being at $269.10, meaning that, you know, we got pretty close to using up everything that we're technically authorized to be able to use. In the rest of your packet, then, are two other pages. We'll refer to them a little bit more later on today. But one is the actual resolution that we'll ask you to approve, and it, again, just lists out those new dollar amounts. And the only number that changed was the one that was for the non-indebtedness asking, and that was reduced again to $62,775.83. And then I did give for you the front page of the general budget form. Still online is the full budget form, so that happens to be the old dollar amount and the old information. Didn't have time to get that changed before the meeting, but I'll update that before I go home tonight. So that will be the new information, but I gave you at least the front page in your packet of what that new form would be, reflecting again the limited amount that we can take for the non-bonded purposes, and the total then being $308,085.83. Again, other than that, nothing changed in all the budget numbers that we looked at last month from the actual budget. And really on the budget form, or just normal budget form itself, what got reduced was obviously the amount of property tax that would be coming in. It reduced that $75,000 that we'd set aside for potentially an employee position. That's probably the most likely line item to be reduced then by all this. May mean, you know, that that either we have to try to bargain for a lower rate, or we wait several months into the fiscal year before we hire somebody. So that's yet to be determined once that all gets approved. Otherwise, I'll answer any questions that you may still have on the budget, but those are the only numbers that really were changed. Nothing changed at all on the debt side.
Any questions for City Administrator Green?
I don't have a question. Thank you for the explanation. It's I usually just try to summarize things real quick at the budget thing, just so I remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So kind of some of the target values we look at for setting the levy. Obviously, we have the 3.5 cents, which is anything above that requires City Council approval. Anything over 6 cents requires City of Blair approval, a vote by the public. Obviously, we're well below that. And the average levy for the last over the averaging the last 4 years was in the neighborhood of 3.2 cents. So this is the levy itself is well below, I guess, the 4 year average. The taking is more just because the valuations increase. So I wouldn't anticipate any, any consternation with this number. This is the first time that we're using property tax funding for non-debt service. So this is kind of the one kind of big change that we have made this year compared to other years. But I think in the long run, it serves the public. It allows us more versatility in our funding so that we can, you know, save money in the long run or offer better service. So that's kind of my summary, I guess, of that. So thank you.
You bet. And I might add one other item real quick. Obviously, there's been a lot of activity going on down at Lincoln with the legislature. Don't know exactly what the changes that they have implemented would affect the Airport Authority. None of it would be for this upcoming fiscal year, but it may be that down the road. We have some other things to have to look at. It may actually be, too, that if they have removed some of the sections that deal with these restricted funds because they put other kinds of limits on municipalities, that it might actually make it a little easier for us to do some things that we feel like we need to do as long as we stay under that three and a half cents. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how things shake out for next year.
Kind of following up on that, one of the big limitations that's being proposed in future budgets on the municipal side is that limit, the 0% or index limit, limited to, I guess, what you kind of described earlier is real growth. From the city evaluation side, that's a number that has been changing so much lately with our industry and everything.
Correct.
That 13% that was raised this year, do you know, like, what percentage of that would qualify as real growth?
Real growth, yeah. For the city, it was just 1.3%.
Yeah, so that, yeah. I mean, that is a major change.
Whereas last year, overall valuations went up 22% compared to 14%. And I think the real growth last year was like 18%. Again, primarily because one large industry that came to town and got put on the books last year.
So. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Any other questions? Agenda item number 7 gives an opportunity for the public to make comments. Need comments from the floor? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and move on to agenda item number 9, which is considering resolution 2024-4 to approve the proposed fiscal year budget 24-25 and appropriate the necessary funds for operation of the airport. Do we need to read this?
Not necessarily. Again, it's very similar to what we had last time, except for those dollar amounts that changed.
So can we just introduce it and second it and pass it? We don't need to read or anything else? Okay.
I'll introduce resolution 2024-4, setting the amount to be levied at $308.085.83.
Okay, so board member Rump introduces a resolution. Now we need a board member to move that the resolution be adopted.
I will move to adopt this resolution.
Motion by Bedke, second.
I'll second that.
Second by Rump. All those in favor? Actually, just cast your vote. That's what we're supposed to say. Please indicate your vote.
All board members present voting aye.
Thank you. Dang, we're all the way down to number 10.
You're the best. Thank you, sir. Aaron, why don't you bring up this first picture? I am very pleased to let you know that I hold in my hand tonight the key for the new loaner vehicle that we have out at the airport. So this is a van that had been utilized at times by the police department previously. We had it all spiffed up. We've got a nice little sign on the door. So if you want to look at the second picture talks about this now being the airport's courtesy vehicle. And if you go to the third picture, I want to give a special shout out and thanks to Olson for the great donation that they made. And we have a nice little sticker on the inside of the vehicle, just letting people know that it was made possible by their generous donation. So appreciate that. Obviously, Skyworks has worked with us as well on vehicles and making sure that this thing is ready to go as well. So excited to get this switched out. And being a van, I think it will be easier for people to be able to utilize. If they do end up with two or three different people, it's just easier to have. Easier to get in and out of, as well as some luggage and things like that to be able to move around. So Olson, thank you very much. If you would pass on our thanks for that, and if you want, I'll send you a picture so you can.
That's when that airbag goes off.
Yeah, exactly. Olson airbag. But very appreciative of that.
So thank you to Olson & Associates, Heather, thank you. We appreciate all the support that you and your organization provide. So agenda item number 11 is a presentation from representatives from Olson Jet Law and AMCG about services to assist us with reviewing our rules and regulations and land lease. Construction standards, and we did get responses from all three organizations. One of them just, I think, was it today or yesterday? I think yesterday was when we got one of them, so really haven't had time to review them. I offered all three of the organizations an opportunity to present to us either in person or via Zoom. And Olson is the only organization that requested an opportunity to speak with us. My intent and expectation is that we will review this material today, and we would not vote until next month, so we have an opportunity to review it and digest it and think about it. So with that, Heather, are you presenting for Olson?
Yeah.
So I call on Heather Olson from Olson Associates to make their presentation. You need a box or you got to pull that down.
Here we go. Chairman and board members, thank you for giving me the opportunity to come up here and just quickly discuss a little bit about our proposal. It was intended that tonight I was going to be introducing you to one of my coworkers, Steve Stockham, who would be the majority, who would be working on this project for you all. So Steve was not able to come here tonight. He had a family emergency, otherwise he'd be here talking a little bit about himself and introducing himself and what he brings to the table for your upcoming adjustments or changes or maybe additions to your minimum standards and your lease agreements. So just a brief introduction of Steve. He's been with Olson for 2 years, and he has really hit the ground running, and he's been a great asset and instrumental in assisting our airport clients with a lot of the airport management side of airport processes. Steve was the airport manager at the Joplin Regional Airport for 31 years, and just to give you kind of an idea of what Joplin Airport, Regional Airport is as far as size, they have 128 base aircraft, two industrial parks. He dealt with both the public and private corporate hangars, so he's done a lot of lease agreements with that, and commercial flights, and also terminal space leasing, so within their terminal building. So he's well versed in how to manage an airport, and he gives that. It's really nice to be able to reach out to him when we have questions from airports in regards to how do we do this and how do we do that. So it's been a really good asset bringing him on. And then we also have Diane, which I know met Diane in the past, but she worked for the Department of Aeronautics for 20 years. And while she was there for 10 years, she did help manage the three state-owned airports. And she also helped the Nebraska airports throughout the state of Nebraska set up the minimum standards and implement those at their airports. So she's well versed in those two as well. So just a brief kind of description of what we feel that for your land lease evaluation, we think Steve and Diane will be really a good asset to talk about those potential updates that you could have in your lease agreements, minor tweaks on how those can be worded, and then also evaluating and talking with other airports in the same size as you, a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, just because you are going to have quite a bit of growth coming up with your runway extension and also that potential for that self-expansion. So just having his expertise in that will be helpful, we believe. And then the minimum standards. Your minimum standards currently are dated December 18th of 2018. So Steve did do a cursory review of your minimum standards, and he said they're very thorough. There's a lot of good parts to them, and there's just a few suggestions he thinks he has. But then he also said it would be really good for you to take a look at making sure that they are still in compliance with all the FAA guidelines, because those guidelines do change through the years. So that would be something that he would definitely take a look at. And then he just has a lot of good insight in what they incorporated into Joplin. And then also just with him being an airport manager, he was always able to reach out to other airport managers to glean really good insight on how to best manage airports. So having that expertise. So Diane and Steve would really be doing those sections of it. And we also provided and recommend that you add a construction standards section to your minimum standards. And this would just be addressing and making sure that consistency out at the airport is maintained with your hangar materials, making sure that they're getting the proper building permits and then fire marshal guidance. But the big one that we want to hit on is your pavement. As you've been progressing with your taxi lane to that south expansion, we've always been maintaining the FAA standards with the 8-inch thickness of the concrete, the 6 inches of aggregate, and then the traction standards of the subgrade. And we're really pushing on that because in the future, when you're wanting to go and maintain that pavement, it's going to be key to have those standards met, because then the FAA will help fund that that maintenance. So if your panel's cracking or the joint ceiling needs to be replaced, the FAA would fund that. If they're not put in at the standards of FAA, they would not participate in that. So that would be a big reason why you want to add that construction standard. And then utilities, just seeing some of the utilities when we've done the access road, they're kind of all over the place. So having some standards as far as where they can be placed, keeping them in corridors so they're easily found and not damaged as construction continues. And then also maybe addressing fire protection and the challenges that you may have out there with the rural water, having limited water availability out to those areas. So our proposal that we submitted does have a breakdown of each of those as separate tasks. So if there's one that you want to take on your own, or if you'd like to do all three, but we haven't broken down, so it's kind of a menu, so you can choose if you want to pick more than one or not. I guess that's just pretty much just an introduction to Steve and what he can bring to the table. So,
any questions for Heather? Yes, from the audience.
Hello.
Sir, would you introduce yourself?
Kevin Albert, Skyward. Heather, I hear quite often that we need to do this 8-inch thickness and the FAA mix to get FAA help in maintenance. I've never seen that. So if we have 3 or 4 panels cracked, how do we get the FAA to pay for that? Because I never see that happen.
Well, you're going to want to wait with the FAA, so individual. Okay. So individual, like if you have a crack just show up, that's considered maintenance that the airport should be maintaining as you're going on. The FAA will come in and they'll do a major pavement rehabilitation project. They're going to want to have a significant amount of pavement. So when you do your taxiway, as part of your taxiway project or your apron project, they would come over and do taxi lanes in a maintenance project. But small projects, just as you're finding them every once in a while, that would be on the owner to make sure they're maintaining it so the cracks don't get bigger.
So you're saying that the next extension of that taxi lane was done privately and wasn't to FAA specs? The FAA would stop at the last 30 years from now.
Yeah. So as part of your runway project, one of the projects that FAA is looking at doing is your joint sealant on the remaining section of the runway. They would pull that project into your runway extension project, bring all that pavement up to the same quality, as they would say. So that would be a great opportunity. So let's say if that taxi lane pavement was a little bit older, they would lump that into that project because it would be a lower cost to help maintain that. But yes, they would draw a line. So any hangar ramps, they don't participate in, because that's outside of their boundary.
Right, so even though we're doing the aprons from the hangar to the FAA-approved concrete, it's never eligible for helping.
No, but I have been known to be able to get it in.
Okay.
We do as much as we can to get it included, but it depends on how much funds you have available if they'll let you do that.
Yep.
Any other questions? Ms. Olson, thank you. You've made a very lovely presentation. So again, just to reiterate, what I expect is going to happen is that we'll now have a month to review this or ruminate on it, and we can come back at the next meeting and ask questions and discuss and perhaps make a decision at the next meeting. So it gets us on to item number 12, a request from Tim Howder regarding the Skyworks hangar proposal. Tim?
Aaron, can you pull up that photography picture you have drawn? This one, that one, yes. That works. Okay, so Tim Skyworks, obviously. Earlier this year, I think we asked for a period of time to research the development of a hangar in that grassy area to the north.
There's a pointer there on that device.
On the grassy knoll?
Yep.
Right there. We have concluded our research and have decided to move forward with the project that we proposed to build, which was one of the meetings previously with the drive-through setup instead of the nested T like the tin flex next to it. So tonight we're asking for to finalize a land lease so we can place a deposit on the building that we plan to order. The building is currently, we ordered soon, is an erected tube building, which I believe is the same as your T hangers and your corporate hangers there on the E designation that you're in, Dan. I think those were all an erected tube building. So it'll be the same manufacturer. We hire a private contractor to erect it, a private concrete company, which most likely will be Herb, who has done the concrete before. We will fill in all of the grassy area except for between the hangar, like we've done traditionally. So from concrete apron to concrete apron will be concrete. The drainage all appears to work. With approval tonight, Heather will apply for the 7460 approval from the FAA for the height.
7460, yeah.
Of the building. And we will wait to start construction until that approval comes in from the FAA. In the meantime, we'll be pursuing the city permits, fire marshal approval, things of that nature. Erectitude is out 24 to 28 weeks, so I anticipate the actual build to be next spring. Although, if we can get things together quick enough, we may do the concrete yet this winter or this fall.
Anything else?
Building 70 by 260, I believe the nested T is 60 by 260 or thereabouts, so we're a little bit deeper. But you can't really see it from this picture, but the apron from the T to the taxiway lane, is 55 foot on this side of the building. Traditionally, we were 40 on the other side down the middle. So that allowed us a few extra feet to make the building bigger. Why that happened in the previous layout, I do not know. Just maybe the T hanger could have been bigger.
Well, this isn't the first time this has come up before the board. You've been here before to present preliminary information, and there were discussions about what the appropriate lease might be, and board member Rump did a lot of work on that, and I think the general consensus was that he kind of put together an idea that might be agreeable to all parties. Could you review that, Marty?
Yeah, so as you know, Tim, we've been kind of discussing not just the south development, but also hangar leases for any future hangars. For the south development, the idea we're moving toward is a lot fee plus a land lease. I think it's been expressed that it may be preferable for the owner of the hangar or the builder of the hangar to have that the lot fee as an upfront cost more than a large lease increase. And you're welcome to provide comments on this. For the sorry, I'm a little dry today. So we had come up on the south expansion with kind of a preliminary figure of a lot fee of $5 a square foot and a lease rate of maybe starting at about 20 cents a square foot, with the idea that the lot fee would be put into an escrow account or something that would be designated primarily or exclusively for improvements of that specific area. The hangar you're looking at here is a little different situation. A lot of the infrastructure is already there. For example, we don't have to build a taxiway to it or anything. But one concern that has been kind of consistently brought up is it's kind of the last remaining spot for if we were going to do general aviation hangars, for which we have a waiting list. We don't have any immediate plans for that. So you know, we are considering using the land while someone wants it. I know when you made the presentation before, we had kind of discussed a lot fee of $3 instead of the $5 and a lease of 15 cents a square foot instead of the 20. I don't know if you had that noted from that meeting a few months ago, and whether that would affect the feasibility of your project.
I figure in my head.
Okay. And the idea there is that the lot fee again would be used not just for maybe not just for general airport expenses, but for a capital expense that would benefit the whole airport, including the general aviation side that we're kind of taking this land from. So one example of that is moving of that maintenance hangar over. That's a benefit for the entire airport, that lot fee could be directed toward, or other infrastructure improvements if they're necessary for, if any of those surrounding taxiways, including on the GA hangars, need maintenance or anything. So the idea is not just to squeeze money out of you, but it's kind of resetting our lease rates to allow us to work as partners with an investor to cover the infrastructure part of the airport too. So anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I guess for some reason out of that meeting we had on the hangar committee, I had a lot been in my head in the 20s, that figures out into the 50s, and I guess I'm trying to figure out where I'm wrong.
Okay.
I do not remember the $3.
It might have been 250. I had three written down, but we might have talked about 250. And these are, we're kind of bringing it up tonight. I don't think we've made an official decision on how we're going to adjust our lease rates, but that's why we're looking for input to see what's feasible.
You remember anything, Dan? You were in that
meeting? I don't remember the specific numbers. No, that's not a strength of mine.
So if it was, yeah, it's about 18,000 square feet then. So if it was 250, it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of, like you said, 40,000 or something. But again, this is kind of a one-off. This was developed mainly for the south expansion, and this is kind of a one-off situation where, you know, we have kind of a special situation just for this one lot. But I don't know if the...
So total square footage is 18,000?
18,200.
And you're suggesting $3 a square foot as a...
That's what I had written
long
down.
Long-time fee, a one-time fee. So that's 54/6, flat one-time fee, and then 250 or 3 per square foot annual lease, right?
No, right now it's at 9 cents, and it would probably, like for this, I would suggest maybe 12 cents or 15 cents. For the south... The south area, we were talking about 20, and we were still getting really tight on our numbers as far as being able to fund the taxiways and stuff. So again, the increased lease part is kind of designed to cover the ongoing costs of maintenance, mowing, plowing, all that stuff throughout the life of the project, whereas the lot fee is kind of designed to cover the initial to aid toward the initial infrastructure cost of actual construction of, taxiways or things like that. But and the averages for all the local airports is all over the place. It's goes from Blair's the lowest, but it goes up to, I think the average was 33 cents a square foot, but
I thought that was the high. It was 33,
but those don't. Those also don't have lot fees. So I mean, it's a different. It's a little different situation. The average was. Well, I have it here, but Average was 33 cents. The highest was Hastings and Kearney at 60. Omaha's 53. But again, you know, they're all kind of unique situations. But do you know what the, if we're looking at maybe as a percentage, do you know what your square foot cost is for the, like, the maybe combining the building and the concrete and the erection and all that? Is it 50? Is it 100? Is it?
On this project, I believe it's pushing 100.
Okay.
And a great share of that is all that apron we have to pour.
Yeah, and the lot, yeah, the lot fee would only apply to the building, obviously. So, but
I mean, again, I believe this concept was my idea years ago, so I'm a victim of my own idea.
Be careful what you ask for.
But I, you know, in the survey that I believe Aaron did, does anybody charge a lot fee?
Nobody discussed a lot fee. It was price per square foot.
So if the idea of a lot fee is to help offset the cost of building the taxi lanes, etc., in this case, the developer is talking about building those himself, or the ramp, you know, the ramp anyway.
Yeah, so in this case, it was more a matter of, I guess, compensating the general aviation, because this was kind of a reserve spot for the general aviation community, mm-hmm. and whether that money, the lot fee then would be directed to something that could benefit them, since they're losing, I guess, the potential to, you know, if there was a, if we came up with a different plan to build a GA hangar that was owned by the city and everyone put in a lot fee of $3 for that or something, you know, we could maybe make that work. But it's kind of the idea of this is kind of, it's a trade-off for that last spot that we can direct it to something that benefits that side of the airport still. It's not, you know, we haven't really fleshed it out. You know, I don't have a I don't have a paper or a proposal or anything, but we just kind of discussed it when this was brought up earlier. We had also kind of talked about trading a bay of that hangar as a maintenance building and things like that, but I think the current plan is to move the other maintenance building over here, which is coming up on the agenda here later. So but yeah, we don't have a policy right now, so whatever discussion we can come up with.
We can set it however we want, because we don't have, like Marty just said, we don't have a policy, so we just have to come up with something that,
what's your thoughts,
will work. Well, I would like the project to go through. I mean, you know, so now, you know, you got to stare at each other and say, what's it going to take to get it done? I mean, I like the idea of some upfront fee. I don't know exactly how we would pay that. I think conceptually, I like the idea, but I don't think it's going to pay for, it's not going to pay to build a taxi lane. You know, we can't charge enough for that probably, or we could, but it's going to be more than, you know, the $54,000. That's, what was the number? 18.2 times...
3 was 54.6.
18.2 times 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, 54.6. Yeah, so, you know, 54.6 will build about 10 feet of concrete probably. So I don't, Marty, you're making the point that, okay, it's to compensate, put that in air quotes, compensate the GA side for the loss of opportunity of having hangars there.
Partly, I guess, kind of moving toward this new, the long-term adjustment that we're going to have to do to get that development going over on the south side. It's, I mean, we can't charge 9 cents a square foot there and build all that stuff. it's not going to work economically, but so this is kind of the timing, you know, it's kind of moving, transitioning from our old lease structure to our new one.
I mean, this is really something in the middle, and, yeah. And you know, when I've spoken offline to different parties about this, it's that, you know, we know we're not quite where we need to be on our lease rates, but I don't want to stymie or stop this project. I mean, this is a good opportunity to bring some more aircraft, you know, based aircraft to our field that are going to be buying fuel. They're going to be active, so it's going to be good for the aviation community. It's going to be good for the airport. So I'm in favor of the project moving forward. We just need to know, we need to come up with a number that's
I hate to put you on the spot from an accounting spot, but I mean, what would be better for your financing? Would it be better to say have the lease rate at 12 cents and the lot fee at $2, or keep the lease at 9 cents and have the lot fee at $2.50? You know, what do you, does it work better to have it, to have that expense up front, or?
Well, the, whatever the expense is up front, you add it to the financing or amortization of the project and see if it works.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's 9, 12, or 15, you're talking $1,000 or $1,500 a year difference. I guess to move this on, I would suggest or throw out $2 a split up front and 15 cents, or 2.25 and 12. It's going to average out about the same.
Okay.
And that ends up with, I believe, 30-some thousand to 40,000 for the lot fee. And I think we all know this is a whole different animal than what we're going to run into down south. The city, Bill can take us up. I don't know what dime you're going to spend on this project.
Yeah, there's not going to be a big upfront investment here. It's more of a planning ahead for the infrastructure to support it. And I'm okay. I'm fine with either of those. So I mean, you said, let's see. 225 and 12, or two, or no, 225 and
12, or 2 and 15,
and two, or 2 and 15. And since we, like you said, we don't necessarily need that upfront to get the project going, I'm fine with either of those figures as kind of a, to set up the lease as a transition like that. So
are we talking the current template of 25 and 2.5s for the lease period? That's what all
I think
the
so, yeah.
Leases are.
I would think that we use the current template.
Right. So the only thing I have not researched is where we're going to pull electricity from. I'm hopeful it's in the area of the big electrical shed there, but I do not know. In the past, OPPD has been more than generous with getting us power to supply the tanks. So.
So I think that the paid staff is usually too quiet during these meetings. And I understand that they need to maintain some independence and what's the right word? They can't have a cat in a fight. But nonetheless, there must be opinions that are based on facts and issues that are important to the airport. So I would like the staff to make whatever appropriate comments they can.
Drill, baby, drill. No, okay. obviously, I think I'm with you that, you know, getting some development going is going to be is always helpful for us. Not knowing exactly what you're all thinking as far as the fund, in the sense that some of this upfront money would go into, I think that's probably a bigger critical issue for us, though, because we know we've got some design costs that just come with even getting plans together, proposals for seeking other grants. So to me, anything that we could get up front is probably smart for us to have and hold on to then for future development of hangar space, runway space. So that proposal of 2.25 per square foot up front, which is $40,950, and then 12 cents, which is $21.84 annually. Probably makes better sense, I think, from the airport's perspective.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Typically, the airport authority, I mean, our board isn't generally in the, we don't generally get into negotiating, you know, each lease. So as you saw from the last agenda item, we're trying to, I guess, develop a process or for future development of the airport. So we're not trying to just be stubborn about this one hangar. We're just trying to kind of move to the next step, I guess. But
yeah.
I think if you remember in the presentations I gave, you know, square foot hangar space has directly increased fuel flows all the way through all of these nine hangars that have been built. You know, this one hangar is 18,000 square feet. That's going to increase Skyworks' storage by almost a third. So, you know, hopefully the fuel flowage fee follows. One last comment I would make is we're talking about a fund that we're going to save. I would really like some direction on that because I stood here and you two were here when we developed the extra flowage fee for the ICE. And that's my biggest pet peeve on this airport right now and is limiting us in getting new airplanes to come. There should be a huge slush fund to go out and invest in some ICE equipment or ICE capability to fight this up. And it's not too late to retroact those funds back into a dedicated fund for us.
It might be, but it's not too late to have the discussion.
I get it. So I just make a point. I'd like to really see the money go where we want it to go.
For this case, especially, what I was specifically thinking of was the cost for moving the maintenance shed over would be one of the major things that would be covered under this. And I don't know if we actually have a budget fund set up for certain things like, you know, planning the next expansion or maintenance project or whatever, but I definitely agree with you that I don't want that money just disappearing in the budget, you know, like
like the ICE fund did.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing discussion for a couple of years, and I agree. If we're not actually using that for new material, we should be looking at either changing the designation of what that is, or looking at maybe investing in a piece of equipment to try something else. Or, but yeah, that's not on the agenda tonight. But I get what you're saying.
So, what does everyone think of 2.25 and 12 cents?
If that keeps the project going, that's what I would. Is there it's a request. Do we direct the city staff to set up the lease to do that?
That would be my suggestion, is just direct staff to put this lease together so that way you've got an actual document to approve next month.
Okay.
We'll run it through our legal, we'll run it with Tim's and
yeah. Okay. Okay.
Does it go with us already?
No.
All right, thanks for the presentation.
Yeah. You good?
And for your investment in the airport.
Yes. We all good? Good, good.
And Talbot, you're down.
So we have a motion. They need to make a motion.
I would like to consider approval, update him. Recommended motions. I would entertain a motion to authorize the staff to prepare a land lease agreement for Skyworks for the mentioned project at 2.25 per foot for upfront fee and 12 cents.
I will make that motion.
For lease.
It's BTA hangers.
Okay, BTA? With BTA hangers. I would, the motion would be to create an agreement with the appropriate entities to erect the hangers. And were you voting in favor of that, Tim? Is that why your hand was up?
Yeah.
Might not hurt to put the lease term in there for the term.
2.25 and 12.
Well, yeah.
25 years. Two
for 20,
five,
okay, three. Fine. How about the lease is for the city to...
Which is what you're...
Create.
Right? Yeah.
To create that document.
Okay.
Did you make that motion, Marty?
I made that motion.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll second it if it's still
okay,
up there.
Okay, so Bedke made the motion, and Marty seconded it.
All members present voting aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, item number 13. Consider resolution 2024-5 approving NDOT Division of Aeronautics projects list and application of state aid and authorizing the airport manager to sign and submit the application form. Mr. Green.
All right, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. And again, I'll add one quick item to that last discussion about the fuelage flow. And again, I just need to do a lot more research. I've not had a chance to do a deep dive into previous agreements and how much was set aside for ice removal. I fully agree with you guys that better county numbers would help everybody to kind of see where those figures are. But just to give you an example of how important the fuelage flow is, which again, in our accounting is in the franchise fee area. As of the end of last month, so this would be the end of July, 83.3% of the year has been expended, but we're at a little over 93% of our annual budget income coming in for future flowage fees or these franchise fees. So again, anything that we can use or do that would continue to increase that number. And that number is not part of the restricted funds. So again, don't have to worry about lid limits and all those kinds of things. So that clearly is the direction to go in. For this particular item, this is the time of the year where we're applying for potential state funds. And Heather works with us to get this document ready to go, which does focus on the South Hangar expansion area and continuing with some of that development. So requesting $2.5 million, which they're, obviously we had the 10% that we'd have to kick in of that, but $2.25 million that we'd be getting towards that project. So substantial help if this is something that we can do. So we need your authorization just to go ahead and have the chairman sign that so we can get it submitted. Application is due September 1st.
Are there any questions for this airport manager?
If you look at this document, it's actually helpful as we are considering development of the south side as far as updated estimates and phasing. This is set up in several different phases to do the grading, storm drains, and taxi extensions in two different phases. This doesn't cover the entire projected south expansion. It covers it past the proposed, maybe the jet center and the other four hangars. But this is a good start toward that project for sure. So this gives us a lot more updated information on some of that. And I'm not opposed to requesting state funds, so I would propose we submit. Well, let's see.
Introduce the resolution.
Yeah. I'll introduce resolution 2024-5 approving the application for state aid.
Excellent. Good.
I will second that.
He introduces it, you make a motion to approve it.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2024-5.
And I'll second the motion.
Okay, motion by Bedke, second by Rump. Please indicate your vote.
All members present voting aye.
That was easy. We're getting close. Item number 14, Mr. Green.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Requesting just a motion to authorize staff to expend up to $20,000 for the relocation or snow removal equipment building. We've had some bids turned in. We need to kind of get those things finalized. We did take a suggestion at the last meeting we had on agenda planning about instead of just cutting off the poles and then having a new sill plate put on it, and then put on a perimeter foundation, that maybe they could just jack the whole thing up and move it with the poles, have new poles drilled, new holes drilled, and then plopped into the ground. which amazed me that that could even be done. Had did a good job for us checking, made some phone calls. Aaron made some phone calls and found out, yeah, we can do that. So I envision it as a spider moving across the...
Is that going to save us any money?
The path. It should save us a lot, mainly because you don't have to worry about that perimeter footings that you have to put in for a building of this size. They would basically, the city, and I already talked to our public works department about helping to do this, we would have to dig out around those poles so they could simply lift that building up. They would lift it up once the crops are out of the ground, move it over to its new site, kind of suspend it in that particular area so that we could mark where the new pole holes need to be drilled out. Then they would slide it over, move it out of the way, allow the city to get the holes drilled, and then they would just come over and literally just lay it back down into those holes, and then city staff would fill it in with concrete. So pretty simple, straightforward path, as long as the poles aren't completely rotted below the ground. Obviously that would cause a little bit of...
Is there any talk about paving the inside, you know, putting a pad down?
Yeah, and we have talked a little bit. Part of that comes down to money, you know, and just what we have available. That's always something we could do sometime in the future as well. I do think from a maintenance standpoint and equipment cleanliness standpoint, it's always nice, you know, to be able to have a concrete floor instead of a rock floor. We'll do what our funds allow us to do. Okay.
So, yeah, we'll do it if we can.
Yes, exactly.
If we can't, we can do it in the future.
This is one of those incremental things that we can always do, you know, a little bit at a time. And in fact, some of our city crew can do those things a little bit at a time. Again, this $20,000 might be spent this year, might be next fiscal year. So we're not necessarily committing when to do that, but this would just give us an opportunity then to kind of figure out what the best timing is for this.
And that $20,000 number is based on an estimate from Olson Engineering?
Based on an estimate from one of the movers, and then just kind of estimating some equipment costs and some other miscellaneous costs that we might have.
And what's the final location going to be?
Well, again, we're going to have to specify that as well. So my guess is we'll come back to you once we've had a chance to look a little bit more. There is a gas line in that general area. We obviously need to make sure that we stay appropriately away from that and where those requirements are. So that's kind of the next step, is once we get the authorization that, yep, we know that you've given us the go-ahead to get it moved, that we pinpoint the location. We'll be back to you for that.
And that's about 60 by 80? Is that how big that is?
No, I don't think it's that big.
No? Okay. I might have been measuring the wrong building here. But now this has been kind of discussed. I think that's, I haven't looked at it for a while, but if it's savable.
It's the white one. Yeah, it's in really pretty decent shape.
Okay, the white one, yeah.
And we have obligated to the FAA that it will be gone when we get ready to start moving forward more with the runway project. So eventually it needs to get relocated, but I think it's a decent enough building to go ahead and be able to keep.
40 by 60 about, yeah. Okay. I'd make a motion to, as we discussed earlier, as part of the overall improvement of maintaining the airport, I'd make a motion to allow funding up to $20,000 for relocation of the equipment building.
I will second that.
It's been a motion and a second. Please signify your vote. I'm still living in the 80s.
Mr. President, voting aye.
Reports. Tim, you got anything else?
Yeah, I just wanted to introduce to the board my son-in-law, Harrison Helms, as the new manager of Skyworks.
What's his name?
Harrison Helms.
Harrison.
Could you add him to the email list, brother?
Sure, if I know his email. Yeah. What was his last name? I'm sorry.
Helms, H-E-L-M-S.
Oh, H-E-L.
Comes to us from Wichita, business banking background, and be helping us with the hangar projects and running the FBO. One question on the courtesy car. What are we doing with the old one?
Don't know. I mean,
right until it quits.
Did you have a need for more than one?
Four times.
Need for the what? I'm sorry.
I just asked if they had need for more than one, and whether we would keep both of them.
I'm sorry.
The current courtesy car.
Oh, courtesy car.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, if it's not a death trap, then...
Yeah, if it's still functional, then we were just going to get rid of it, but if you've got a use for it, we might as well get use out of it.
Drive it till it breaks?
Yep.
Yeah, as long as there's no significant liability, I think we can keep it.
Okay, and I just want to reiterate, we've kind of taken it upon ourselves to say that the rules of the courtesy car are no overnights at the request of the city. So we're blaming it on the city.
Yep.
And that's worked pretty well. Occasionally we'll get a stranded pilot that we'll let them take to a hotel, but you know, the average person flying in just needing transportation, we make them get rental car or such.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's it.
Maintenance? Anyone? Bueller?
Not sure if we discussed it last month because I wasn't here, but I know that there was some complaints about holes in the tender up over by Hangar 4 in particular. Ethan went in there and welded those and sealed them up. We've done some concrete work around some of the sliding doors over the last month and the set those steel tracks back into some good concrete. So hopefully they won't be heaving up too much this winter. It's been pretty routine stuff that's going on right now. We also had last month Newview come in with the grinder and tore out a few more trees, primarily on the west side. Hopefully that'll give Gary our farm lease an opportunity to hay that ground and keep those trees from coming back. So. Also talked to some of our guys from the Parks Department. I had a complaint from a neighbor about thistles coming in, getting some spraying done to knock that stuff back. I think Mark has been working on that. So that's all I have.
Update on current projects.
Yeah, we're kind of in the phase right now where working on with Midwest Right-of-Way. They're doing some background work, getting ready for moving forward with land offers. Got a request down to the county to try to find out from them when we can come make a presentation and get final sign-off on the design for the county road relocation. And then we're working with the county planning and zoning director on a replat for that property. So again, the intention is that that had the older platting on it would be replatted so that there basically would be the lot that remains that would be owned by the farmer that owns it now, then a designated area for public right-of-way, and then the area that would be owned by the airport. And it just is going to be easier to kind of clean that up that way. So whether that's going to be in the month of September, more than likely probably October when that replat would be done. He did work a little bit more with Olson on getting the design done for that replat. I think that's generally about it. We haven't had probably any conversation with the tree guys finishing up until we get closer to...
As soon as the crops are out, they'll be back in.
Okay. So once the crops are out, so...
Maybe, I don't know if this exactly fits here, and maybe Heather could provide some insight to you. So... You guys all saw the email that in the federal budget, the appropriation for the Blair Airport was at least advanced past committee to be voted on, I guess, later for the 2025 budget. That had a figure of $5 million for the Blair Airport. How does that actually affect our planning? Because, I mean, it's money and time. So, I mean, if we have a pile of money, we can't necessarily just spend it, or does that replace what we were getting before? Or
Do you know exactly how that money can be utilized?
Okay. So the $5 million will offset the costs or the money that Anna was supposed to, like, come up with from a pot of money, either state apportionment or airports that don't use that $150,000 that turn it back over to Anna. So those funds, that's what you would be offsetting. So for the different phases of the county road and then the runway construction, her chunk would be offset. We would still utilize all of your $150 that you get allocated each year, and then the $295 that was the infrastructure bill money. So your pot is still being put in, but that $5 million just helps offset hers. It, what the benefit of that money, if it does go through all the way, is that you would be able to group your projects together instead of having a separate project for the road relocation and then the runway extension. It would be those two pulled together as one project, which would be beneficial because then you're saving money on mobilization and phasing and safety features. So I'm really hoping that that comes through and it may even move up a year.
So really the funds are going to help the state, and they kind of go to the state. They aren't going to the Blair Airport. They're going to the state.
They're going to you to help. Yes, it helps you.
Okay, they're going to us, but then the state's going to give us less.
I mean, our 10%.
Which is fine. I'm not complaining. I just want to make sure I understand.
No, it doesn't offset any of your 10%. But if we get grants in 2025 and 2026, the federal government changed the share. It's 95-5 instead of 90-10. So we're really hoping that we get that $5 million. We get to combine those two projects into one. And then maybe everything can get designed in 2026 and bid, then you're in a 95-5 grant. But when you look at that, then 95% the FAA has to come up with, the AN has to come up with. You guys only come up with 5%. So that $5 million will help them with their 95%.
Yeah. So, it's all a good thing. I just am trying to understand it. I'm not complaining. I'm trying to get it.
And obviously, I think that the biggest advantage is, you know, moving up the time frame and by combining those things together. So if we gain a year, that's obviously worth something to us. And then especially now with the new allocation percentages, obviously that's a huge benefit.
Yeah, if you get in that 95-5, that would be fantastic.
And does that have to be that figure, you spend as much as you can in that fiscal year? Is that why you're combining the projects?
You're given 3 years to spend it.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I got you.
But it's $5 million to you. If you don't use it all, you can use it for something else.
Okay.
If it comes in less, then you still get to keep that $5 million. That is Blair's to use.
Yeah. Okay.
So it doesn't go into her pot again.
Yeah. Yeah, and right now, just for comparison, well, this is probably old, but the total project estimate is something like $8.5 million, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes.
So I know when you submitted to Deb Fisher's office, you were asking for 7.8, I believe, and then it came back as 5.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a lot of actually airport projects in that list, so I mean, there's support at least. And do you know, and a lot of them are lighting projects. Is that just LED upgrades or?
Yeah, and their vault or electrical bolts and pappies and reels.
And the Blair, like as part of this expansion, I mean, is our electrical system pretty much up to date? Or would it be, is that something we have to start planning for?
Well, with your runway extension, you do have to relocate your lights. And we are going to push for new lights because the age of your current ones will be hitting that threshold of 15 years. So we would request that you get LED on your runway lights because you have to respace them anyway.
And they're LED now, aren't they?
I don't know.
I think they are.
I don't know.
They're not?
I thought they were.
Unless they can replace the bulbs, as they're replacing them with LEDs. The fixtures are old, they would have had them back then.
Yeah, they're some pretty old fixtures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those electrical upgrade projects were $4 and $5 million just for that. I'm like, oof. Hopefully we don't have to do that on top of everything.
Yeah, I know, I saw that too. I think there's a lot of stuff in there.
Okay. All right, thanks for the, with anything with the government, I always need a couple extra explanations.
And I don't have anything additional for my report, so thank you.
Okay. Anything else anyone wants to bring up?
For the good of the airport.
I'm sorry, who?
For the good of the airport.
For the good of the airport. For the bad of the airport, either way. If there's nothing, entertain a motion to adjourn.
We'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second by Bedke, second by Rump. Please indicate your vote.
Members present voting aye.
Can you believe that?